All right, let's go back to the. Let's go back. Sorry, you wanted to make a quick point, and then we go back to the.
Yeah, quickly, right? Peter. The matter of the lady said the high flyers. I prefer to talk about the. We have people who are in any system above average, and people who are below average, and then you have people who are seen as being average, and you may be above average in one regard and below average in another. But what I'm saying is that in any situation, I think we need to cater specially to the above average and the below average, so that the above average, as the lady said, can excel at the rate that they are capable of, and that below average, that we have a program by which we can bring those people up to the average. But what with regard to the 11 plus, what I would say is that I would like to see the common entrance scrapped, right? But what I would suggest that we replace it with is that rather than people being screened to go into schools, secondary schools at 11, that you go to the secondary school that is most convenient for you to get to from primary school. You forget about the examination. The school that is most convenient for you to get to is the one that you go to. Mm-hmm. By being assessed now from first form to third form, by the time that child gets to third form, and as Khalil was saying, at 10 or 11, you may not know what you want to do. But by the time you get to third form and you're being assessed continuously, you then know what is the aptitude for that child, what direction is it likely to go in. So you have now schools which will cater to the sciences, schools which will cater to the arts or language arts, schools which will cater to the technical aspect. Mm-hmm. And then those persons are channeled to those schools for which they seem to have the greatest aptitude. So Harrison College is seen as the school for science. Even though you have gone to Harrison College at 11, it might mean that you will go to the Darrell Jordan, because that is the school for language arts. Mm-hmm. Okay? So I'm saying that you create these schools with specialty areas, and then the children are assessed from first to third form to determine what's the aptitude of which school, where they would continue the secondary education.
Okay.
All right. I could just say very briefly,
sure,
I certainly support that recommendation from Dr. McLean. Of course, I think as long as schools have the names that they have, they will always carry connotations for some people. How we move past that? Dr. McLean used the example earlier with the messenger candidate who went to Harrison College. So how do we move past that to be able to allow persons to envision a world in which a child can transition seamlessly from Harrison College to Darrell Jordan? I don't know if that requires a change in how we look at these schools or how we name them.
Yeah.
Well, the outcomes, I think, would determine that. It would not happen immediately, but when, for example, there's a guy who went to the St. Lucy Secondary that was valedictorian at the KFL campus a few years ago with honors in physics, right? He didn't go to Harrison College or Common Mayor, you went to St. Lucy Secondary. There was another valedictorian at UWA in recent years from one of the other islands who said basically he failed the 11 plus, right? Mm-hmm. But he turned up. So people develop at a different rate. This is why I'm saying that if you can give that from first form to third form, the time in which you can actually see the aptitude of the child, then I think that would be a better fit than, as you said, condemning them to a status in life at age 11. Because I'll tell you that there are people in Barbados who have gone to schools other than the grammar schools who have done very well. But when people assess them, they still look back and say, "Mom, where are you at school? You understand?" So that is something we need to deal with.
Yeah. All right. Let's see if we can take a couple more calls. We're moving towards the regional roundup, so I just want to get a few more calls in and say good morning and welcome to the program. Good morning and welcome.
Yes, good morning, Peter, Wickham, and the panel. Yes.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
Yes, morning. I think on this occasion of the Earl Bird Day that we have to take an essentially introspective view of what our education system has evolved and where it should go. Now, I believe that the education system in Barbados is still oriented with a 1950-1960s perspective. We are now in the 21st century. I think there has to be a concerted strategy put in place now to make the education system in Barbados a science and technology-based system. I say that because we need to cater to the developmental requirements of Barbados at this time. We have seen how COVID has savaged the current tourism-based system. I think that in order to be able to go forward into the 21st century with any degree of confidence and any degree of prosperity, Barbados has to, the education system, has to tune its population into a more science and technology-oriented view, because it is through science and technology that a manufacturing and an industrial system can be developed. And I think we need that to go forward into the 21st century. Now, Erber himself, we're not being trained in the fields of science and technology, but someone who was acutely aware of science and technology and the role that it should play in the development of any society. I remember as a young kid listening to Erber at the advent of the moon landing, saying something to the effect that the only difference between the U.S. and Barbados, putting the man on the moon, is that the U.S. had vast volumes of money and resources and so on. But we in Barbados had the same intellectual potential to do similar things. Now, I think, here in the 21st century, there's tremendous amounts of volumes of opportunities that Barbados could exploit, in order to improve its economy. But it has to start at the primary level. You cannot wait until the student reaches the tertiary level to try to persuade him into a career of science and technology. It has to start at the primary level, where students' minds are most fertile, where you can basically tune a student in that direction. Take, for example, China. China has managed to create an economic and a technological miracle in a short 40, 50 years, because China realized that it's science and technology that will propel its people from the depths of poverty now into the heights of prosperity. We need to take the same opportunity, the same perspective here in Barbados, and in order to be able to go forward. And I am adamant, and I am trying to persuade the powers that be to put strategies in place to revamp the education system in Barbados, to make science and technology the foundation of our educational system. I know that the point has been made that there are people, there are students who develop at various rates. But in a science and technology environment, the average student, the student, will find his own niche in that environment, whether it be a high flare or a low flare. Okay, but the emphasis here is on the science and technology. For example, you have farmers in China who have not necessarily been to any high performance secondary schools or even a tertiary system. These guys have put together helicopters. They've manufactured these things. They've shown a certain creativity and innovative capacity that is enviable for anywhere in the world. So we in Barbados have to adopt that perspective. We have to adopt the the strategies that are conducive to the development of our society. For example, and I'll just quote this: there are a number of private space launch companies in the world today. Okay, they're looking for places in the world where they can launch into space at a relatively cheap cost. Barbados is located favorably in terms of its geography, quite near to the equator, which makes, and we're not going to the physics of it now, but it makes it permits the launch of a spacecraft into space at a relatively cheap cost. Now, if we were able to attract one of these investors here to Barbados to establish a launch platform about 5 miles out to the south of Barbados, we would be able to basically provide that launch facility with not only the material resources required for the activity, but the intellectual class, the people who are skilled in the various aspects of engineering, of science, and of the sciences and the technologies and so forth, in order to provide a support services for that platform. We will create a whole cadre of people who are, skilled in this respect. And in addition to that, the manufacture of satellites, because, the 21st century is all about the manufacture of satellites to put into orbit, and it's all about the exploitation of orbital space and so on. We need to create a cadre of people in this country who can cater to that reality, who can produce in Barbados, right, the technical requirements for creating satellites, CubeSats, which are basically the going thing now in space exploration, and be able to supply that particular station with the CubeSat technology, with the actual satellites and so forth that are designed in North America or in Europe, you see.
Yeah.
But we would have We would have the guys here in Barbados.
Yeah. All right, sir. Sorry. Go ahead. You want to respond, Leroy?
Yeah, I want to respond quickly. To give a full response to all that was said would probably mean having to raise an essay. But I don't know what is the area Khalil intends to pursue, right? But when I listen to him, I hear a rounded, educated person. A person who has a rounded education. And these are the people that we want. Now, the reason I'm saying this is that a society cannot exist purely on science and technology alone. Okay? I am a scientist, but I do not believe that we need to have a pigeonhole kind of education. The late Tom Adams, when he actually had introduced a special prize for the secondary level for A-level students who did well in languages, right? Because he saw a deficiency in that area. We need to have an education that is suited for our own development. What people are suggesting is that we have an education that is like other people. We cannot compete with the United States or the European Union or China in terms of science and technology. What we need to do is to have a system whereby the science and technology that we have, or the level to which we can educate our people, is the science and technology that is required for our survival and our existence as a people. So I talking about launching satellites and all that, we can't compete with anyone to do that. So therefore, what I'm saying is that we need to carve out what is our niche, identify what we need, and I'll tell you something. One of the areas that we need to get to very quickly in terms of our education is teaching civics, so that people would know what are their responsibilities as citizens and what are their rights as citizens, and knowing how we can exist as a people. But if you just want to go with the latest fad, science and technology is it today, tomorrow it is something else, next day it is something else, we need to sit down and decide what is it that we need to progress as a people, and that we have a balanced education system. We can't go one way. When we put the emphasis of science and technology, what happens to the people who, when we need, in fact, when I was in university, we had to use a book in the science faculty. It was called Scientists Must Write. It was a book specially provided. And we had to do a course called Use of English, because you need to be able to communicate. It makes no sense being schooled in science and technology and having all the best qualifications, and then you can't translate it into anything or communicate it to the rest of the society.
All right. Let's get back to the telephone lines. I have a lot of WhatsApp messages here. A lot of people are concerned about the 11 plus and complaining that it is unfair and that we need to find another way. And, you know, so there are a lot of those comments which we'll probably try and read after the news. But let's see if we can get a couple more calls in. Good morning and welcome.
Yeah, good morning. The education system works well, you know. I mean, who leaves school in Barbados can read and write. They could call a price. They could go to the cashier and say, well, that's what I see on the shelf. But they come out as perfect consumers. You know, they consume everything that Europeans, the British legacy has, you know, has provided them. You know, they love the whole legal fraternity and all the pomp and ceremony that's supposed to be our supposedly our government's model. You know, these people coming out of school work fit in so well to what Barbados is. You know, where you want to go rock that? If you go and bring up people who are bright and discerning and who can decide, well, wait, but this ain't making a sense out there. Why that parliamentary rep there said that there? How come these parties are doing the same thing and we still voting for them over and over? If people came out and thought critically, but the system would collapse. Well, we need to have a lot of people out there who are simple and who just fall in line. At least they can read and write. Because, I mean, if they can read and write, they walk into people's shops and the poor people think about Amazon.com. Because the retail industry will still do very well. So we are educating people, not we, they are educating people that fit right in. Now, if you decide now you're going to change that there, change the education process to do everything that Leroy spoke about, and they call it previous, in fact, all the other people who have spoken about doing things better, and you bring up a better quality student, what going to happen to them? Well, I mean, the system is not going to collapse to facilitate them. They're going to have to pack up and go somewhere else and live. They most certainly will. We have a system now where lawyers, in particular, because they are ones who are most caught up in all the ceremony and all the nice, the dresses and, you know, everything traditional comes out of England, them do. And they hold, to this day, the highest rung on the ladder of economic recognition. They are all the sirs, they sit on all the boards as chairman, they're the ones that people come out respecting. And you ask yourself, why? It's because that's how you're educated. That's how most people are educated to appreciate, and that's not going to change because they're more or less they dictate policy. They've always been dictating policy, even in Errol Barrow's day. And one thing I know, as soon as they stop talking, I'm going to get a chat.
Please do, go and finish your point and go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. One last thing. You know, all of this thing with Errol Barrow is all fine and all good. Great. Making the situation, you know, equal across the board. Everything Mr. Wickham says about, you know, who is upper and who is lower, and it depends on what it is that you're concerned about, whether or not it's English and French or whether or you know, languages or other things. All that is fine. But the one thing that I think that people should really be discussing more than anything else, no. I mean, all that's funny. I say it probably is not fit into our present establishment right now. But the major change that did not take place in Errol Barrow's time, but took place, I think, is more in Owen Arthur's time. And that's the one of co-education, where you got no men, boys and girls being instructed at secondary level, recognizing, of course, that male instruction at that level of development requires a different kind of impetus, different kind of approach, as opposed to female education. And now we got 96% of the senior public servants are females. So obviously something has drastically changed since Errol Barrow that needs to be corrected. And I think, yes, it has to do a lot with the class size as well, but this co-education thing is not working for the males. So when they get around to discussing that there, you know, I would love to come in and make as much noise as I possibly can.
I would love to have you back in when we discuss this whole question, because one of the criticisms we received for today's program is that the panel is all male. You know, I was making a point that this is not a gendered issue, and the reality, as you have just said it, is that women haven't done badly in the system. If you look at where women started, when we had universal free education, when we had universal voting. And we are at a point now where men are outnumbered at the highest levels of education. It clearly means that women do not have a problem. Men do. But what I would suggest to you, Auntie America, is that you should probably make contact with the management of MISA or one of these other male organizations. Because if this is a concern, you know, by all means, whenever you have programs that have that focus, then maybe you need to discuss what men need to do to get themselves up to a level of equality. George, you've been trying for a while to get in on the conversation. You wanted to add something to this? Are you still there, George?
No, I just... Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
I just want to say to your WhatsApp messengers and to the anti-common entrance advocates. I mean, the common entrance is part of an agenda. It's part of our structure of our educational system. And it is probably one of the only options we have now in terms of parity. You could imagine people who don't wear slippers, who don't wear shoes, who may not have bus fare, but are very, very bright, can go to that exam, sit in it, and earn a passing grade for a school of their choice. Now, I've heard a lot about reform, and I would admit that reform is a way of producing change. But the truth is that some reforms produce little change. And the reality is that there has been no replacement for the common entrance in Barbados. There has been no replacement. And just to tinker with the common entrance and not tinker with the entire system is the educational system, not just the common entrance. It is part of the system.
But George, part of the question that I've been asking, that Leroy has been asking, and some of the other callers have been asking is, what exactly do we need a common entrance exam for? There's no common entrance in Germany. There's no common entrance in France. There's no common entrance in the United States of America. There's none in the United Kingdom. A lot of the Caribbean countries have abolished 11 plus. St. Kitts and Nevis have an 11 plus. There's no common entrance exam in most developed countries of the world. But yet still people transition from one school to the other. And they do quite well. The Swiss and the Norwegian models that we look up to, they don't have a common entrance exam. Why do we need to have a replacement? Because the exam serves no useful purpose. Why do we need to have it? You have enough space for every single child who's in primary school to go to secondary school. Why do you need to punish them with an exam to determine who should go where? If you want to put them in a secondary school, just put them because you have enough space. No?
Peter, I live in Barbados just like you. And I accept the reality of small societies.
I actually don't,
Okay. Peter, in all small societies, there will be asymmetries of power. There will be people who will have access based on where they are located and the fact that they may have access to wealth, money, power, what we want to call it. In a system that is opened up, I believe that that process will allow for more vagaries to insert itself in terms of people of power and wealth taking advantage based on where they're located, while disadvantaging other people who have those skills, those talents, to make it into the schools of their choice. Until I can see a process that says transfers, this is what it means. These are all the schools in Barbados don't have the same facilities. They don't. I didn't make it like that. You didn't make it like that. They don't have the same facilities. They have all graduate teachers.
You know, George, I don't want to come a conversation between you and me, but the reality is that the Ministry of Education spends the same money on secondary schools across the board. And the most money they spend is actually not on Queen's College or Harrison College, just for your information. The levels of appointment in terms of graduate teachers is relatively consistent across the board. I think it unfortunate, especially when we're looking at our borough, the reason that the 11 plus was created was to insert a level of fairness and equity in terms of access to education. Everybody on the panel accepts that. I think that we also have to accept that if we're going to live true to Barrow's vision, we have to understand that fairness and equity means that we no longer need it because things have changed. And I think that if Barrow was alive today, he would also accept that the system that they put in place to manage a challenge at that time is no longer relevant. But I need to get back to the
reform. So let me do that question. What's the reform? We know things have changed, but what's the reform?
Leroy, you want to respond, or you, or should I?
No, I just wanted to make the respond to the point about all the schools not having the same facilities. In fact, there are some of the so-called newer secondary schools that have better labs than some of your grammar schools. And the point you made that all of them have graduate teachers, but it is the point that if you send children, all of the children at a particular school, are the children who got 50% and below, what do you expect to come out of that school? You know, so the as I said, you not only do we need to get rid of the 11+. I agree with George. You have to get rid of it, but you need to replace it with something that improves our system. Not just say let's get rid of it, but and I made a suggestion. You transfer to any school, but then you have schools that specialize in certain in different areas. By third form, you can determine which of those schools the child goes to.
Yeah, and I mean the whole concept of intermediate education, which the Prime Minister has been promoting, it makes sense to do it in that way and create a level of a buffer. And then it's just when children get to third form, you know, that's when you're probably going to decide anyhow you move on in that way. But
I think
sorry, Khalil, go ahead.
Yeah. One brief thing, and the mechanism of transferring these children from their primary schools to this intermediate elementary or middle school sort of thing, that is something what is that mechanism going to be that we use? I think, is it going to be simple geography? And when it comes to simple geography, you look at places like the United Kingdom, you have and they have challenges there with what they call the postcode lottery, that kind of thing. So those are considerations you have to look at, I think.
Okay, Khalil, you brought us to a point where we have to take a break, and I want to thank all the panelists. I'm hoping that you guys can stick around with us.